Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is time to go outdoors. Our good buddy Steve Carney joins us from somewhere way up north. Steve, how you been?
Great, Steve. How you doing, man? Looks like the fair attendance is doing very well, so it looks good.
I've been coming here since I was a little kid, and I don't want to even say how many years it is. It's more than 50 years that I remember coming out to the fair. And I don't know if we've ever had a state fair where the weather has been this good from start to finish. It was a little hot early, but it has been unbelievable. And the weather looks good for Labor Day weekend. I will say this, it looks like we're going to see a change in the outdoors this week. We're going to get rain on Tuesday, and then it is going to cool down big time.
I love it. I've been watching that, too, and it's like this is just what we need. We need to get down in the 60s for highs, maybe some 40s at night. That's really going to really supercharge everything in the outdoors. You know, the dove season opens up on Monday, and it looks like there's a little bit of rain early in the week, but then cooling off, so that should be just perfect timing. I'm going to be out in the South Dakota-Minnesota border for a couple days this week and then back again the following week. Those non-residents get 2 5-day periods to hunt when you are a non-resident. And I was going to say, too, just to change gears a little bit, North Dakota has changed their waterfowl regulations for non-residents. And people need to know this because there's so many non-residents, you know, that hunt in North Dakota and predominantly Minnesota people that they have a zone change this year, which means you get your first 7-day period in one particular zone, and then your second 7-day period, you have to go to a different zone. So what this is doing is angering a lot of people that have, you know, small homes and small towns and, you know, duck hunt out there exclusively that now have to drive 70, 80 miles to a different zone for the second half of their license. So it's creating a lot of pushback, and this just kind of happened right out of the blue. I don't think anybody had any input. It just happened. So very inconvenient for non-residents, especially Minnesota people.
Yeah, and I know a number of years ago there were a lot of complaints, and there still are. You know, what they do to non-residents when it comes to pheasant season in South Dakota, and this has been a trend for a long time. And I lived in the state for almost 10 years. So when you're a resident, you get the first crack on the state land. Well, the non-residents don't get any of that. And it really does make it tough. And I know it has had an impact on out-of-state hunters coming in and willing to spend their money.
Yeah, you know, I live up in the northwestern part of Minnesota, and we have almost exclusively people from Fargo, Devil's Lake. I mean, all North Dakota people that come up here that have cabins and do a lot of fishing here, and they basically have, you know, zero restrictions. They can kind of come and go as they want, and, you know, and they make it a little bit more difficult for us going over there. And there should be some sort of parity, I think, you know, just settle down a little bit to make it fair. And, I mean, you wouldn't believe up here, Steve, on a weekend, it's all North Dakota license plates. It's just amazing. It's like an invasion. And, you know, we welcome them. They're wonderful people. Don't get me wrong. I love North Dakota people as well as South Dakota people. But, you know, they come and go, and everything's cool. And I just think, you know, maybe cut the Minnesota people a little slack and, you know, just settle things down a little bit on the licensing, but, you know, it is what it is. And South Dakota has a lottery system for waterfowl hunters, and they only allow maybe 4,400, 4,800 licenses. So they restrict that pretty severely. So, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, Minnesota duck hunting has been on the decline for 20 years, and that's why a lot of waterfowlers are just going west, because that's where the birds are and that's where the action is. So, speaking of that, we've got the early stupid teal season on the 6th, which is a week away, which is really interesting, Steve. Out on the lakes this week, I've been noticing a lot of really young birds that have no color, and they can't even fly yet. And this is kind of bothers me, because these are birds that have no color, and you can't identify if they're a teal or a wood duck or a mallard, because they try to get up and fly, and they can't. They're not ready yet. And to have this early teal season, I think, is going to be really detrimental, because you're not going to be able to identify a teal. I mean, you just can't, but they're doing it anyway. And, you know, my final, you know, outlook on this is that the teal are down 11% nationally in numbers, but yet they're still having an early teal season. So I totally disagree with that, but, you know, what do I know?
Yeah, and Steve, should we even bring up the bite right now, or should we just wait until October?
Can we skip that, Steve? Can we bypass that for the time being?
Wow. I bet it's tough.
I've had a really good season, and I have not had one bad day on the water until 4 or 5 days ago. And it just, you know, August is tough. The water temperatures are still in the middle 70s. There's a lot of algae going on in southern Minnesota, western Minnesota. We're dealing with that. It's tough, but I think, you know, cool weather, as we talked about over the years, once it kicks in and we get 40s at night, you know, 50, 60 during the day, the water temperature drops, the algae abates, and it'll get better. I mean, that bite will start, but I think it's going to be a while. So I'm, you know, switching to the hunting mode right now. Bow hunting opens up in a couple of weeks, and a lot of stuff going on right now. You should see my garage. I've got stuff stacked up with different sports everywhere. It looks like Cabela's.
You're going to need more storage. You're going to need another building.
Well, it's the time of the year, Steve. We're making the transition into hunting, and, you know, fishing is still viable. So, yeah, it's just, it's kind of fun, though. It's, you know, there's always something going on.
All right, and a friendly reminder, with bows season coming up quickly, get out, check the stands, make sure you do your due diligence.
Now is when you need to do it, and I think when people go out and check their stands, they're going to find the foliage is totally overgrown. We've had so much rain. I've had to cut new shooting lanes in the last couple of weeks because everything has just gone nuts. So don't assume that your stand was fine last year and it's going to be fine this year, because you better check it out, because you'll be very surprised when you see how things have changed.
Well, Steve, always good to visit with you. Have a good week. And I have a feeling by next Saturday it's going to be quite a bit cooler and things are going to change quite a bit in the outdoors.
Oh, I think it will, Steve. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. You take care. Have a good rest of the fair.
All right, there he is, Steve Kearney. StepeKearneyOutdoors.com. He's been joining us on the weekends for years. By the way, our outdoors coverage continues tomorrow. Rob Driesline from the Outdoor News has a great show, chock full of great info and a lot of great guests. That's Rob in the Outdoor News Sundays between 5 and 6. Don't forget, Twins on the radio, gorgeous night at Target Field. Padres in town. Twins bats booming as of late. Bobby Nightingale scheduled to join us following the news and weather at 5. Coming up next, we're going to be joined by Karen Harrison, statewide wildfire prevention specialist with the DNR. And Karen will join us in a moment here on News Talk 830 WCCO.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And we are back at the fair just down the hill from Ye Olde Mill on Carnes Avenue, right next to Sweet Martha. Mancini's is over there, French Meadow. We've been in this spot looking at the giant slide for a long, long time. I think the CCO booth was first in this spot. It's been remodeled since the mid-50s. So that's a pretty good run at one spot here on the fairgrounds, going back to the... I wasn't around for it, but... Karen Harrison joins us, statewide wildfire prevention specialist for the DNR. And Karen, you've joined us before, and it's good to see you again here at the fair, final weekend of the fair. And the DNR exhibit sits in the middle of the fairgrounds, and it is popular.
Yeah.
Always a lot of people there.
Yes. It's always busy. I mean, the fish pond is probably the number one, but I'd like to think that our area has the number two, which is the fire tower.
Yeah, and people can still go up the fire tower and check it out.
Yep, it's open from 9 to 7 every day.
And it's a great view of the grounds.
Yeah, on a clear day, you can see up to 10 miles away. So you can see downtown Minneapolis. You can see the cathedral in St. Paul.
How long are the lines? How long does it take to get up the fire tower?
It fluctuates. I will say there's usually less of a line coming from 12 to 3 where it's really hot out.
Yeah.
but it goes pretty quickly. We try to keep it at about 10 at the top so it's not too crowded up there. I feel like the line usually moves along pretty quickly.
Yeah, it really is a cool experience, the fire tower. And speaking of fire, coming into the growing season, if you will, coming out of winter, there was great concern, and we did have some big fires in the state early in the year.
We did, yeah. And in Minnesota, spring is when we have the most wildfires, usually in April and May. And in particular, when we have these winters where we don't get as much precipitation, it's dry going into the spring, then there's often a lot of red flag warnings from fire danger. We see dry fuels on the ground before they've greened up. And the opportunity for fire is just so much higher.
Yeah, and wildfire isn't just a forest fire. I mean, it can be in the grasslands, southern Minnesota, western Minnesota. Those can be very dangerous as well.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize we have wildfires all over the state of Minnesota, not just up north in kind of our wooded area. We have fires in southern Minnesota, in the prairie, grasslands, really close to the metro as well.
Yeah, and weather, huge, huge factor in all of it, and we really did get a big break with some of those fires up north. It was scary at times, but Mother Nature stepped up.
Yeah, personally, because I work in fire danger, it was nice to see the rain come and continue to come for a while to reduce the fire danger. And we have staff that are constantly looking at and analyzing data to see what is the fire danger going to be, how prepared do we need to be. And in May, it was looking, we were pretty nervous about what the summer might be in Minnesota. And so really thankful that we did end up with precipitation across the state and started to have decreased drought levels as well.
Where do we sit right now? I know we have had a lot of rain all over the state. We talked about that. But with the rain and a warm summer comes a lot of growth as well. And we've kind of learned that from out in California. If they have a really rainy stretch and then explosive growth, and then that gets tinder dry during their dry season. Is there something similar here? If it does get real wet and we do get a lot of growth, that there becomes a fire concern maybe for next year if it dries out?
Yeah, potentially. And in particular, of course, in the Northwest where we had a big blowdown around the Bemidji and Beltrami County area. And so that's, a big concern for years to come, really. It's going to be there's been a lot of cleanup in the area. It will continue to be a lot of cleanup. Hoping that people take some steps to become fire wise around there in their community to reduce that risk from possible wildfire. But as we go into the fall, that's our second largest fire season in Minnesota. And so once we get that first frost, or we start to see, you know, vegetation starts turning brown and drying out, then we're going to have that potential again. So, yeah.
What is the greatest concern year in and year out? Is it human error, if you will, a campfire that wasn't completely put out, someone throwing a cigarette butt out the window of the car, or is it lightning? I mean, from your perspective, what is the greatest risk when it comes to wildfire?
I mean, people are the greatest risk here in Minnesota. Okay. Over 90% of wildfires in Minnesota are caused by people.
All right.
And often it's unintentional, which, you know, means that there are things that people can do to reduce the possibility of a wildfire happening. The number one cause in Minnesota is debris burning. So anytime you're having a fire that's larger than 3 feet wide or 3 feet high, you should have a burning permit. That's when it starts to get higher potential for an escaped fire. You know, conditions can change really quickly. It can be a beautiful morning, and then all of a sudden in the afternoon, it's dry and windy. And so really important to keep your campfire, you know, small, not tall. And second, to put it out all the way. So the other common cause for like larger debris burning piles is they don't get put out all the way. They stay super hot, and then they have potential for reigniting and escaping when somebody's not around.
Yeah, and that is the use of water.
Yep.
I mean, whether it's a campfire, any other fire in your yard, whether you're here in the cities or the exurbs or somewhere out in the country or out in the woods, I mean, dousing that fire with water, right?
Yeah, you want to drown it with water.
Yep.
Stir it, repeat, feel with the back of your hand for any lingering heat. If it's still hot, it's too hot to leave.
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good advice. What about vehicles? Four-wheelers out and about, all-terrain vehicles, whatever the type, out there, the exhaust, people driving vehicles through tall grass, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Is that another risk factor in all
of
this?
Yeah, definitely. Vehicles and OHVs, any off, you know, highway vehicles, the engines and the exhaust systems can get super hot. So you should avoid parking in dry vegetation or by tall grasses, because it can ignite that. And even if you park on top of green grass, that hot engine can actually dry out the green grass and ignite it on fire. So it's really important to try to park on gravel or pavement whenever possible when you're out and about.
And I want to bring it up again. We're in good shape right now. That could change. We have no idea what the weather is going to be like this fall or this winter. And how many people monitor that and keep an eye on that? How many people are on the team that kind of project what things could be like later in the fall or next spring?
Yeah, we have two people right now that are working on that. And we, though, also have, and I think are really thankful to have, the Minnesota Incident Command System. And it's a partnership between the Department of Natural Resources, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, U.S. Forest Service, Department of Homeland Security and Emergency Management, and the Bureau of Indian Affairs. And they have a task force, and they meet weekly to talk about what's going on around the state, how many wildfires have happened in the last week. And they're constantly looking at that data along with our staff that, you know, look at and analyze and make predictions to figure out where we should be, how we should be prepared, and those sorts of things. So have a really good system in place here in Minnesota.
Well, Karen, always good to visit with you. Thanks so much, and you'll be here through Labor Day. The DNR, great place to stop, so much to see and learn. Beyond the fish, you can climb the fire tower and get a great view of the fairgrounds and beyond. Thanks again for
Thanks for having me today.
Karen Harrison, statewide wildfire prevention specialist with the DNR, joining us at the fair. We'll take a break. We'll get an update on the weather. Looks like we could get a little rain on Tuesday, and then a big cool down. We'll have all of that, college football scores, and more from the fair a little bit later on before 5. Kip Kovar is going to join us. He's covering the state amateur baseball tournament. Champions will be crowned this weekend. The tournament ends on Labor Day with the Class B title game out in Hutchinson. Kip will have an update for us at about 4:50 here on News Talk 830-WCCO.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the final Saturday of the fair, and for years, we've kind of made the transition to college football around this time. We had some games a week ago, more games this week. Gophers played Thursday. MIAC schools don't play until next week. Northern Sun schools, for the most part, played on Thursday. We'll have some of those scores coming up momentarily. But big-time college football underway. Huge games today. We'll get to the scores in a moment. But Jonathan Lowe, Lindsey Brown, a legend, is hanging up the microphone today. 90-year-old Lee Corso doing his final college game day. Jonathan Lowe, I don't know if he was the greatest college football coach, but he has turned into a legend of college football Saturdays.
Yeah, this is a situation where, and it's similar, that ESPN has a couple of these guys in two different sports, especially in the college ranks. You've got Dick Vitale when it comes to college basketball and Lee Corso when it comes to college football, and the fact that they were coaches. They were actually in the game. They were on the sidelines. Not the most successful of coaches,
right,
but when it came to analyzing and having fun with the analyzation of college sports, they have been at the top. They have been the standard for the last 3 to 4 decades. And so to see him – now, I didn't know – I knew he had lost a step over the years. I personally should have known this before. I didn't know he had a stroke a few years ago. And so – but again – being on the desk and being on TV at 90 years old and still being able to be cogent at that level, it's great to see, and I wish him nothing but the best.
Yeah, and I don't know about you, Lindsey, but I mean, this guy's a legend. As a coach, but as a TV personality, he brought a lot of juice. I mean, College Game Day came to campus; it was a big deal.
Yeah, and to wrap it up in week one in Columbus, yeah, at the big house, or not the big house, the opposite, the shot, the shoe, all of those, yeah, things are on the Ohio State campus. But, you know, he's probably got a big hand in turning college football into what it has turned into, which is this juggernaut of an entertainment industry. It's very distinctive from the NFL. I know that we're muddying those lines, especially with the NIL and everything, but I'm always curious how you supplement the loss of a presence like that, because you can't replace it.
Yeah, no, and they're going to try, and that's the worry in all of it, is that someone will try and step into their shoes, and if they do their own deal, great, but no one will be able to pull off what he pulled off. And tip of the cap to Lee Corso. He's certainly a big part of college football Saturday. And speaking of that game of the day, Texas, Ohio State. That is one of the scores Jonathan Lowe is going to lay out for us. I'll have some of the regional scores as well, but once again, most of the action starting next week. We had a ton of Northern Sun games on Thursday night. Jonathan Lowe, without further ado, get us those scores.
You ask, you shall receive, Mr. Thompson. It is a gorgeous day here in the Upper Midwest. It is a gorgeous day for the Minnesota State Fair. And I'm telling you right now, there is one thing and one thing on my mind. It is not quite yet that season, but I don't care because pigskins are flying. And right now, it is another wonderful, beautiful, glorious Saturday in the fall, y'all. College football is back here, there, and everywhere. And we get it rolling in the Big Ten as we start with the games in progress in the fourth quarter. We go to Bloomington, Indiana, where where number 20 Indiana is on top of Old Dominion with about 8 minutes to go, 27-7. Happy Valley, the number two country, or number two team in the country, Penn State. They are all over Nevada early in the third quarter, 30-3. It's at the half in Eugene. Number 7 Oregon is on top of Montana State, 38-3. A huge blowout in Eugene. Finals from earlier in the day, Purdue. They win at home in a shutout over Ball State, 31-0. Maryland gets a 39-7 win over Florida Atlantic. Tulane goes out in front early on Northwestern, and Northwestern had trouble scoring today. 23-3, the Wildcats fall in New Orleans. The game of the day, number 1 Texas rolled into Columbus to take on number 3 and defending champion Ohio State. This was a slugfest, a defensive brawl, and both teams had trouble scoring. Ohio State scored in the second quarter, they scored in the fourth quarter, and they held on after Texas got a touchdown late in the fourth. 14-7, the Buckeyes up in number 1. You will have a new number 1 at the beginning of next week. It will probably be Ohio State, because even though Penn State's going to win today, it's not as impressive as beating the Longhorns, who everyone had as the number 1 team in the country. And Arch Manning did struggle, only 170 yards and one touchdown in the start for the Super Junior at Texas. Coming up later today, it'll be Iowa hosting Albany in their opener at Kinnick Stadium. USC will take on Missouri State. Number 14 Michigan will host New Mexico. Washington gets a visit from Colorado State. And Utah and UCLA will battle in a very interesting tussle coming up later tonight at the Rose Bowl. Nico Imaliava, who transferred from Tennessee late in the process, will be the starting quarterback for UCLA. Last night, Michigan State got a win at home over Western Michigan, 23-6. Number 12, Illinois beat Western Illinois, 52-3. On Thursday, Rutgers survived a scare from Ohio, 34-31. Minnesota gets a win over Buffalo, 23-10. Not a dominant win, but still steady progress for the Gophers going forward. Wisconsin, they get a win at home over Miami of Ohio, 17-0. Again, not very impressive for the Badgers, but it was steady. The defense looked great. And Nebraska in Kansas City goes to Arrowhead, wins over Cincinnati, 20-17. The Cornhuskers finally win a close game. They're 1-0 on the season. To the top 25 scoreboard we go. A weekend of big games across the country. Number 8 Alabama in Tallahassee for the first time ever, taking on Florida State, the much maligned Florida State, who had a horrible season last year. They may have turned things around. It is 17-7 Seminoles with about 12 minutes to go in the third quarter, early in the third. Number 5 Georgia at home between the hedges. They're taking on Marshall and shutting them out. Just kicked off the second half, 24-0 Dogs. Number 22, Iowa State is at home. They are taking on South Dakota from the Missouri Valley. And Iowa State has had an impressive start, 34-7 the score in the third quarter, about midway through the third quarter there. Other scores earlier today, number 24, Tennessee. They win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta over Syracuse, 45-26. Coming up at the top of the hour, number 18, Oklahoma will be at home against Illinois State. Later on this evening, number 15, Florida hosts Long Island University out of Brooklyn. Number 17, Kansas State will be at home against North Dakota. It'll be 19th-ranked Texas A&M hosting Texas San Antonio. That could be a sneaky good game there. Number 23, Texas Tech home to Arkansas Pine Bluff. The game of the night, number 9, LSU leaving Death Valley to go to Death Valley. Number 4, Clemson hosting the 9th-ranked Tigers. Who will be the best Death Valley? We'll find out later on this evening. Number 21, Ole Miss, they'll be at home against Georgia State. Number 16, SMU hosts East Texas A&M. Number 11, Arizona State will be at home against Northern Arizona. Tomorrow, it'll be number 13, South Carolina taking on Virginia Tech. That will also be at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium. So one game today in Atlanta, another neutral site matchup tomorrow afternoon against with the Hokies and the Gamecocks. Tomorrow night, number 6 Notre Dame, number 10 Miami. Catholics versus Convicts is alive, folks. It's going to be alive tomorrow night at Hard Rock Stadium in Miami. Earlier this week on Thursday, Boise State went to Tampa to take on South Florida, and South Florida led up a touchdown early and then rolled 34-7. The Bulls take down the Broncos. Into the FCS stretch we go, into the FCS realm we go with the Missouri Valley. We told you about South Dakota. They're trailing at Iowa State. We told you about North Dakota. They'll take on Kansas State later on this evening. North Dakota State, they were on the road in Charleston, South Carolina, taking on the Citadel, and it was not even close. The defending champion Bison take down the Citadel 38-0 today. Northern Iowa wins at home at the Unidome over Butler 38-14. South Dakota State, they will be in action later this evening in Brookings against Sacramento State. And earlier this week, St. Thomas on Thursday night hosted Lindenwood at O'Shaughnessy Stadium. They win 35-13. The Tommies get to 1-0 on the season. Big week of college football. Big week of events going on. And I know Steve has some other stuff going on right now as we get to the regional scores, some of the regional teams in action, Steve.
And, Jonathan, we had a limited schedule today in the Northern Sun. Ton of games earlier, and we'll get you that right now. The MIAC, they get started next week. The WIAC gets started next week. First game in the MIAC next week actually features Augsburg on the road up at Valley City. So Augsburg opens Thursday at Valley City as they get their season started, and that'll be a 6 o'clock start. And then everybody in action next week, Crown home, or I should say Hamlin home to Crown, St. Scholastica at Wisconsin Lutheran. The University of Northwestern will be in Northfield to play St. Olaf. McAllister travels to Grinnell. Carleton will be at Wisconsin Whitewater. That'll be a tough one for the Knights. Gustavus will be on the road at Whitworth, and then Mayville State will play Concordia. St. John's not in action until the 13th when they take on Morris up at Clemens Stadium in Collegeville. In the WIAC Thursday night, Carroll will be at Eau Claire. Everybody else in action next Saturday. And the same deal next week with the UMAC as games get started out there. Quick update on the Northern Sun. Here was the deal on Thursday. Quincy beat Concordia 38-7 down in Illinois. It was Michigan Tech over Bemidji State 37-17. That was on the UP. It was Minnesota State over Northwest Missouri State 38-14. Big win for the Mavericks there. MSU Moore had won at Northern Michigan. Another game on the UP, 44-37. It was Nebraska at Kearney over Wayne State, 28-21. Mary beat Midland, 28-22 in Bismarck. Emporia down Minot State, 27-7 down in Kansas. Sioux Falls, a winner at Black Hill State, 27-21. And UMD played a conference game at Winona State. That game was at TCO in Eagan, the home of the Vikes, 35-7 today. Augustana beat Missouri Western 30-26 in Sioux Falls. So you're up to date on the regional scoreboard. Quick update on what else is going on. Loons take on Portland down the road at Allianz Field from the fairgrounds. Lynx on the road at Connecticut tonight as well. Cheryl Reeve heard that cut earlier on the news with Al. Not thrilled with the way the Lynx have been playing lately. The Connecticut Sun are not very good. I would expect a big Lynx blowout tonight. By the way, Twins and Padres later on the radio. Lineup card at 5:30. In a moment, update on the NBA State Amateur Tournament winding down this weekend with Class A, Class B, and Class C title games. West to the cities. And we'll get into that with Kip Kovar in a moment here on News Talk. 830-WCCO. My bad. I gave Jonathan the wrong number for Kip Kovar. We'll squeeze in Kip before the Twins and Padres later. My apologies on that. State Amateur Baseball Tournament continues through Labor Day. Class A, Class B, Class C. And I'm going to give you a quick update on what's going on there right now. And Meesville and the Minneapolis Warriors have advanced. Actually, Meesville advanced to the championship game. They beat the Minneapolis Warriors out in Gaylord, and the championship game is tomorrow at high noon. They will play the winner of the Chaska Cubs and Champlain Park Low Gators, and that game getting started at 4 o'clock. So that'll be the A title tomorrow, and that'll be played out in Gaylord. And, of course, Gaylord, Brownton, and Hutchinson are your host cities. Glencoe helped out earlier in the tournament. Meanwhile, you got the C tournament right now, and games are out in Brownton, and they're going to play the semifinals and the championship game tomorrow. So those teams will need to win two to win a title tomorrow out in Brownton. And then the B will be decided out in Hutchinson, and that's going to come on Monday. So the final game of the tournament will be Monday in the Hutch at 1 o'clock. And it'll be Delano against Young America tomorrow at 1-1 semifinal. Still be to be decided, the other semifinalists, Cold Spring against Nisswa. That'll be at 4 o'clock in Brownton today. And then the Foley Lumberjacks take on the New Ulm Brewers tonight. The winners advance to tomorrow. And then, of course, that B title game on Monday in Hutch. And I'll be out there for it. On Monday, this will be my third year in a row at the state tournament on Labor Day. Really looking forward to that. And for more info on the tournament, you can go to MinnesotaBaseballAssociation.org, the home of the NBA. By the way, this is the 102nd year of that tournament. 102 years of the State Amateur Baseball Tournament. And a tip of the cap to all the towns and the great job they did hosting. Once again, Glencoe helped out early in the tournament, but Gaylord, Brownton, and Hutchinson doing an outstanding job. And I had never been to the ballpark in Hutch before. I did three games on a Sunday opening weekend, and they put a lot into that ballpark. It's about as good as I've seen. The sight lines around home plate. They have netting from dugout to dugout, a brand new grandstand. It is just a gorgeous ballpark. So, once again, congrats to all the towns, and certainly a great event. By the way, at the grandstand tonight, great weather for Nelly and friends at the grandstand. If you're so inclined, great weather for the Twins and Padres at Target Field, and we'll have more on that coming up as well. Bobby Nightingale will join us in the Writer's Corner following the news and weather at 5. Bobby's getting ready to cover game 2 of that 3-game set. And then we'll try and squeeze in Kip Kovar before we say goodbye. I'm going to try and look up and give Jonathan the correct number. It's live radio. Things happen. It's on me. We'll have the news and weather in a moment.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.